The essence of the light is to guide our walk. There can be problems outside us. There must not be problem within. Don't protect corruption. Don't edge corruption. Don't face corruption. Expose it. Let light shine on it.
The words that I speak unto you are spirit and life, meant to make you grow. The light of God shines in every heart that desires to know God in His true nature. You are welcome to this divine feast at the table of the Lord as we journey from one level of faith to another by the revelation of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Through His minister, we believe you'll be richly blessed.
Father, thank you for this morning. We just thank you for this feast that is happening in this place. This is Feast of Eternal Life. Thank you for these things you have conceived in your heart that you are bringing forth even at the appointed time. We thank you. Our hearts are glad. Father, we count ourselves highly blessed of you to be partakers of light even in this season. Thank you for all the download of light. Thank you for impartation that have come so far. Thank you for yesterday evening. Thank you for the word that came. We give you praise. We give you glory. Father, I just step on these things. I lean on you. I know that you will help me. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's shout amen. Can we open our Bible very fast to the book of Psalms this morning? Psalm 80. Psalm 80. I believe that eroding salvation is as attachment to this scripture. In Psalm 80. Let's do from verse 1, Psalm 81. Give ye, O shepherd of Israel, thou that leadest Joseph like a flock, thou that dwellest between the cherubim, shine forth. Shine forth. Hallelujah. So you can see this manner of pleading. This manner of pleading. Give ye, O shepherd of Israel, thou that leadest Joseph like a flock, thou that dwellest between the cherubims, shine forth. Hallelujah. Let's see verse 2. I won't be able to enter some, but let's. Before Ephraim and Benjamin and Manasseh, stir up thy strength and come and save us. So the reason why it's shining forth is for the essence of salvation. Look at verse 3. Turn us again, O God, and cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. Turn us again, O God. So the first thing he does to us is to turn us. Hallelujah. The first thing he does to us in answering that prayer is to turn us. Turn us again. And then cause thy face to shine. So after he has turned us, then administration of face begins. So God will not cast face upon anyone who is not yet turned. So the blessing of face is for those who have turned. Turn us again. Hallelujah. Can we say turn us again? I believe the reason why, not when we became born again, our new birth didn't actually turn us. Our new birth gave us opportunity to be torn. Because the word turning is actually the word to repent. To turn is to repent. And repentance didn't begin when we became born again. It was after we became born again that they teach us how to repent. That's when repentance starts. What we should do before we became born again is to believe. You know, they asked Jesus Christ in John chapter 5. I think John chapter 6. Those Jews, they asked him, what shall we do to do the works of God? Then he told them, this is the work of God you should do. That you should believe in the one that he has sent. So that our first job as unbelievers is to believe. That's what they call us, unbelievers. So believing is the beginning of that journey. But when we have believed, then we now begin to receive teaching on turning. In fact, when you look at the milk of the world, you know, there is milk of the world, there is meat of the world, there is strong meat of the world. When you look at the milk of the world, the first content of the milk of the world is repentance. Hebrews chapter 6 tells us that from verse 1. Let's look at it. We are coming back here. Amen. Hallelujah. Let me just be doing slow job. Amen. Hebrews chapter 6 verse 1. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ. Can you see that word? Principles of the doctrine of Christ, which is the elementary teaching. Another version says elementary teaching. That's what another version calls it. Elementary. So this is introduction to the doctrine of Christ. Milk is introduction to the doctrine of Christ. It's just to introduce us to the gospel. Milk is not gospel in itself. It's just to introduce us. So milk has to prepare us in receiving the gospel. Hallelujah. Let's say amen. So this is milk. In a way, you want to see content of milk, which is a blessing to a degree, to prepare us, because we were grass, we were carnal. You know, like, we know we have to learn, we have to receive some teaching. You know, so this is, this milk content, the first thing that is there, he said, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead work. You can see that the first encounter we receive when we encounter milk is repentance. Hallelujah. Can we say amen? Amen. Let's shout amen. Amen. So milk, let's say milk. Amen. The first thing in milk is repentance from dead works. Then after that, you can see faith towards God. So they need to teach us repentance. Repentance from dead works. And this is just also introduction to repentance. They just have to give us introduction, like Reverend said it today. I made part of the teaching. You know, even though you are going to become a professor of mathematics, you are not going to start with calculus. You still have to start from kindergarten school, and then they have a plan for you. Then they build you up from there. You still have to do A for apple, B for ball, one times one ten. You are going to become professor. But they start the planning from elementary. All of us remember when we were young, we have to do these 2 times or 12 times. And then thank God for those exercise books. I don't know if it's CSC still like that. You know, it's, you know, they do 2 times or 12 times, so we just cram it. And not to know it, it was a crime there. Because when you enter class in the morning, first thing, or stand, greet. Good. After you have greeted, then they say, oh, you have start. 2 times 2, 4, 2 times 3, 6, 2. You have to do it. And it's a must, so you have to cram that. But that is not everything. Then they will make it interesting for us. They know we have to count. But if first day in school is to solve algebraic equation first day in school and you don't know it, you are in trouble. I think all of us will say, I'm not going to school again. It's better to be a carpenter. Even when you are learning tailoring, you have to start with needlework, measurement, needlework, just to make it interesting. But there are other complex part of it. So repentance from dead work is just the basis of learning how to repent. Hallelujah. You know, that's why I have, sometimes when I teach in this way, I always have very strong issues with those who say, when you are born again, you don't need to repent again. There are people that teach that. That there's nothing like repentance from sin again. When you are born again, you are already born, you are okay, everything has been remitted for, don't just keep coming. No, no. That's the first thing they teach. So anyone who is teaching like that doesn't even have milk at all. Because milk should teach you how to repent. Hallelujah. Can we say amen? Amen. So repentance begins in milk, but it has to continue up. So when he says, turn us again, let's see that psalm again. Say, turn us again. Can we say, turn us again? So you see, this turning is not just to change our path alone. That turning is also reconstitution within. Turn us again, O God, and cause thy face to shine. After he has turned us, then face will begin to shine. And then after face is shining, what will happen to us? And we shall be saved. Hallelujah. Can we say amen? You see, this turning in particular is actually the administration that occurs in Christ. When we enter Christ, can we say Christ? It is Christ's administration that turns us from carnal believer. Can we say carnal? Let us see. Let's see 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto what? Carnal. Can we say carnal? Were they born again? Were these brethren born again? Have they experienced new birth? In fact, when you see chapter 1, you will see this, their CV. Paul said, in gift, you guys are not lacking behind. So even to have gift of the Spirit is not yasty for spirituality. Because these people had this gift. They had it in abundance, but he still called them, they are carnal. He said, you are carnal. I can't write to you as unto spiritual, because you are carnal. Hallelujah. He said, even as unto babes in Christ. Can we say babes in Christ? Look at what happened next. I have fed you with milk and not with meat. For hitherto you were not able to bear it. Neither yet now are ye able. Born again, fed with milk, but carnal. Carnal. So the milk taken has not turned them from being carnal to being spiritual. So when they say turn us again, can we say turn us again? Hallelujah. Let's shout it again. Can we say turn us again? So the turning again is to turn us from being carnal to being spiritual. It's our turning from carnality to spirituality. Because unless we become spiritual, we will never appreciate light of God's face. Like I said yesterday, this so great salvation can be neglected. People ask questions a lot. This eternal life you are teaching, how will he bring food on my table? How does he add anything to me? Does he make me get job? Does he give me a new contract? You guys are not balanced. Eternal life, eternal life, eternal life, eternal life, eternal life. A man talking like that is born again. But the issue is that he's still carnal. And his judgment is carnal. Then his hope is carnal. His pursuit is carnal. It takes a spiritual man to appreciate eternal life. A carnal man can never appreciate eternal life. A carnal man cannot make eternal life his hope. Can we shout amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Like yesterday evening, there was a lot of help for us, because even some of us might have been coming around, receiving the word, but we still have some issues. So when you were teaching today, I was just saying, these things are help for us. Because people ask in your church, what do they do there? Don't mind pastor. Where is his area of calling? That's the name of our church, Eternal Life. If it is something else, it will not fulfill his call. Eternal Life Embassy. That's why we have to teach Eternal Life in our church. That's the name. No, it's not. Even if God says we should change the name to Third Day Assembly, we will not change from the cause of Eternal Life. So it's not just Pastor Reverend Busuyi's calling. It is the purpose of God for mankind. Hallelujah. Amen. And I'm praying our turning process will be complete. I said that because I know that the administration of God's face, I have realized that God is hiding his face. I said that because when God eventually opened his face, God forbid that he opens his face and we are not yet turned. God forbid that he opens his face and then turning is not complete in us. We are going to see that today. So you see, learning Christ is preparation for first administration. Because in Christ, God has set it like that.
that when a man enters learning of Christ, the end product is that he will become spiritual. That is the ordination of God. I will enter learning from being carnal, then I learn faith, I walk in faith, I obey faith, I enter hope. When I begin to enter hope, like Pastor Thompson said yesterday, my goal and objective will begin to change. My judgment will begin to change. What everything celebrates is no longer what I celebrate. Something has happened to me. It's called the hope of salvation. Hallelujah. You know, 1 John says that everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself, even as he's pure. There's a purification we do to our moral. There's a moral purification. That's right. But that purification goes beyond even moral purity. It goes to purity of sight, purity of doctrine. It is when you see hope that it's not every message that profits you. It is on the parameter of hope of eternal life. Hallelujah. Can we say amen? Amen. I mean, that even it's so, when we're in secondary school, natural life, you know, when they ask, what do you want to study? Some of us that have not gotten a grasp of any course that is good, any course that is selling, you know, then you say, sometimes some people say, I want to become an accountant. And I think I should become an architect. Then they say, which one do you want to? Because the two cannot meet. You have to choose where you are going. Hallelujah. There's a place where we do general course. Even in 100 level, you still do some general courses. But 200 level, you enter the learning of your main course. To you, it will be an injustice if you are supposed to study law, and then now you are borrowing courses from mathematics. You know, you feel, what does mathematics got to do with law? Then I'll be crying. You know that they don't have any correlation. I have done general mathematics. I don't need to do advanced math. All they now say, law, you must do anatomy. You know, in fact, you can go to court. Because, and they say it's a compulsory course. You must know how to dissect cadaver. What does that have to do with court? You know, because you know law has something to do with that. Now, it's because judgment has come. It's the same way. When we begin to learn Christ, we are man's judgment. We know there are things I don't actually need again. Let's say amen. Amen. There are things I don't need again. That's okay. You know, somebody can teach 10 Ede Sherub, 5 Ede Sherub, 20 Ede Sherub, then say, if I know 50 Ede Sherub, what has that done to learning of righteousness? Let's shout amen. Amen. So, turning, can we say turning? Turning is when we amass judgment. Right judgment. Paul said, when I was a child, I think like a child. I understood as a child. I reasoned as a child. He said, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. So you see, from being a child to becoming a man is the turning process. God has ordained Christ as that. I don't know, my heart is just staying, because I feel that one of the greatest conflict we may have is staying on Christ. Is staying on Christ. That's the greatest conflict. I'm not even saying those who are yet to come. I'm even saying we that have started learning Christ. There can still be warfare in dropping Christ. If there's anything Satan is after among them that are holding testimonies, how to drop that thing? How to discountenance it? How to evaluate and say this thing, low thought, by, you know, Satan can actually reason your thought. You have been learning Christ for the past 5 years. What has become of it? What do you have as result? What do you have as result? How has Christ profited you? And even Jesus, our Lord, went through that. So I'm saying, so to stay on Christ, we have to talk back and say, even though I may not have seen any physical result, but I see inner change taking place. My judgment is changing. Let's shout amen. Amen. Can we shout a big amen? Amen. So turn us again. Can we say turn us again? I want to say again, turning us from what? From carnal man to spiritual man. That's our turning. And the instrument of turning is Christ. Christ. Christ will change a man from carnal man to spiritual man. Or let me put it this way. He will change a man from grass. Because all flesh is grass. He will change a man from grass to a lively stone. That's Christ. And we all need that turning. Can we say amen? It is on the premise of turning that God can begin to show face. So I believe face is reward for them that have learned Christ. So God, when God begins to cast face, is to administer salvation. Cause your face to shine on us that we may be saved. Hallelujah. Let's shout amen. Amen. Can we say cause your face to shine on us? That what will happen, sir? That we might be saved. Now, if you look at this, this is to a degree what Moses was praying for. Pastor told us yesterday, Moses was praying for faith. He said, I want to see your glory. And God said, no man shall see my face and live. So God said, you can't see. He was asking for glory. God was talking in faith. So in faith and glory are the same. And we thought yesterday, salvation and glory is the same. So it means faith, salvation, glory, they are the same. Moses was asking for salvation. And God said, no, at your state, you can't receive it. No man will see my face and live. Hallelujah. So this has been also another hindrance somewhere. You know, in the body that nobody will see God's face. Just let's forget it. No, we will never see the face of God. Moses asked for it, he never saw it. Moses that was so close to God, he didn't see it. Who are you? Who are you? What have you done? Have you parted Red Sea? But you see, I want you to know that in the last day, God will open his face. A people will see God's face. But who are those people that will see his face? Let's just see it. Let's see Revelation chapter 22. Hallelujah. Revelation 22. I want to ask us, when I see face, what happens to me? I shall be saved. So salvation is a blessing of God's face. But let us see this. Let's see Revelation 22 from verse 3. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it. And what happens, sir? And his servants shall serve him. Yes? And they shall see his face. And his name shall be on their forehead. So it's so clear that, you see, this another issue again. When it's his servant shall serve him, and his servant shall see his face. So who are these servants that will see his face? Hallelujah. Amen. Can we say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Can we say his servant shall see his face? So you can see that, well, first of all, a class of people will see his face. So they have actually broken through to see his face. They shall see his face, and his name shall be in their forehead. So they are a group of people that are called servants. It's not that they were ministers of the gospel. No, they have become slaves of God's purpose. These are men and women that have yoked themselves to God's purpose. Hallelujah. Can we shout amen? Who did I call them, sir? They have yoked themselves to God's purpose. They have yoked themselves. Let's see where these servants were raised from. Can we see Matthew chapter 11? Matthew 11, 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Look at the next verse. Take my yoke upon you. You can see yoke. Take my yoke upon you. And what again? And learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. So he said, when he said, take my yoke upon you, that yoke is Christ. When you are yoked with Christ, and then you are learning of Him, you are a servant. You have become what Romans say. He said, as you have rendered yourself as servants of iniquity. So now, render yourself as servant of righteousness. Can we say amen? Amen. Let's say servant of righteousness. I think that should be Romans chapter 6. You know, so, you know, we were once servicing sin. We were once servant of sin. And when we were serving sin, sin had a reign over us. Hallelujah. Thank you so much. Now, Romans 6:19. Are we connected together? Can I still go on? Okay. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members, look at that, sir. As what? As servant to uncleanness and to iniquity and unto iniquity. So we were one servant servicing sin, servicing uncleanness. We yielded our members for them. And then they had reign over us. He said, even so now, yield your members. As was, sir, servant to righteousness and unto holiness. This righteousness is not any kind of righteousness. This is the righteousness of God that is being revealed in Christ. So when I'm learning Christ, can we say amen? Amen. The learning of Christ is becoming servant to righteousness. We have to serve righteousness. We are indebted to righteousness. We have to see like that I'm daily indebted to righteousness of God that is revealing to me. All that is being revealed in his temperament or character. Hallelujah. You know, hallelujah. It is when we begin coming to the season of hope that we begin to know that we are actually indebted to charity. You know, Paul wrote it, I think, Romans chapter, he said, oh, no man except love. Oh, no man, nothing except love. So it means charity is a debt. That charity is a debt. Patience is a debt. Can we say amen? In a particular time of our life, we do it when we like. I'm patient when I like. If I'm going to say, I've been patient with you all this while, today I will undo you. You don't know me, eh? I will show you my true color. Christ does know me, we should be stupid. Lenny Christ does know me, I should just be taking shit. Remember, see, I say we should be patient, patient. I've been patient. Now I want to show you. That means that whatever we say is just an information to you. It has not become an indebtedness. I'm a servant of righteousness. When I say servant of righteousness, anytime I break law of patience, I will weep. There are times in my life when I know I'm supposed to be quiet and I argue. No! When I enter my room, I just know I have broken law. I show myself. Tosin, you are bad. That when after they are one, they're going to say, ah, Oburusha, Oburu. They will be praising themselves. Oburusha, Omoburu. You will not take easy. So you go to Isaiah, look at this mirror. You are bad. No! Hallelujah. No, we should not do that. Those are not servants. Those are freelance in the course of righteousness. You do it when you like. That means that your turning is not yet genuine. So our turning process is embedded in servanthood. Because then you are already yoked. You are yoked and you are not seeking to be unyoked. I'm eternally yoked to Christ. I want to be servant of righteousness. Because I was once servant of uncleanness. I served it and they gained so much. But now righteousness must have a cause in me. Can we say amen? Amen. May we enter that phase of life. Amen. Because sometimes I see that it's possible that, you know, we put a step into it. When it's not comfortable, we put our leg out. We have to put our leg into it completely. Serve righteousness. Keep serving it. Because it has a reward. My serving righteousness is the conversion process that brings me to a place where God can open his face. Hallelujah. Face. The face of God. Can we shout amen? So you see, look at what he says. They shall see his face. And what will happen, sir? And his name shall be in their forehead. You can see that after I have learned Christ and I become servant of righteousness, God now comes to play when he begins to write his name. Like you said, it's not divine nature. to partake of divine life. God began to administer divine nature in such a way that his name has become my name. Hallelujah. There's nothing a man should look for than name. Name. Praise be to God. Can we shout amen?
Amen.
Let us see somewhere more again. This morning, as I was called out, I said I didn't know. So this morning, it kind of dawned on me that God will raise a people first as a first fruit to be witness of this thing. We are preaching it now. It's okay. This publishing salvation, I believe, is first of all for the elect company to know that salvation draweth nearer. Like Paul said, that, you know, our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. So it's first of all our salvation. But after God has achieved this salvation among us, then God will raise us as witnesses of that salvation. When I say witnesses, it's not just what we are preaching alone, but our life is bearing witness to it. Our life is bearing. And with that, God is going to start a fresh work upon the earth. Sir, it's so clear to me overnight that men will look for salvation. Men are going to look for it. Where some men have become it.
For yea, the day cometh, and even you are in the day. You are in the day, said the Lord, when many Christs will begin to appear.
Amen.
Many Christs, many Christs, many Christs, many Christs, many Christs, and because of many Christs, many also will begin to fall in love, even with the life of Christ. Amen. For yea, when they see Christ, they will love him. They will love him. They will love him. They will love him. So what we are doing is to multiply Christ upon the earth. Amen. Multiplying Christ upon the earth, multiply his life upon the earth, multiply man that will bear his name, that will bear his life even upon the face of the earth. And then nations will flow into Zion. Nations will flow into Zion. They will desire that they want to know your God. They want to know your God. They want to know your God. For yeah, you will be an example. You will be an example of divine life. An example of divine life. When the power of the adversary has been broken, even upon the face of the earth, that which holds man back will be done away with, and the restrictions in man will be done away with. And yea, they will desire the true God. They will want to know their God. They will want to know their God. Yea, the day is nigh. Even you are in the day. You are in the day when my life will be adorned among men.
Amen. Hallelujah. We are in that day. Amen. Let's shout amen. Can we see Matthew 24? I think let me just leave one more for maybe 30 minutes and run away from it. Matthew 24, please. Let's see Matthew 24. Hallelujah. Let's see 14. Matthew 24, verse 14. I just want to bring out something from me. I just want to bear witness to this. God is preparing the first fruit of men. That will be witnesses of this life. Witnesses of that life. But let's see Matthew 24:14. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness. You can see that word for a witness. Unto all nations. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness. So there is a preaching of the gospel that carries witnesses with it. Witness, for a witness. Like Bible talk about Jesus is the faithful witness. So witness unto all nations, and look at what happened after that. And then shall the end come. So God is not going to bring an end until witnesses have been raised. Witnesses must be raised. Hallelujah. Now let's see. I don't know, like I said, I felt I should bear witness to this, so that all of us that are here, we can actually, like Jesus said, he that endures to the end, the same shall be saved. So we can keep enduring, keep receiving instructions, and keep obeying until the very end. Hallelujah. Let's say amen.
Amen.
It is salvation for all men. But God will raise witnesses. Certain men all over the nations of the world will enter it first. Then they will make it as a model for others. God is going to raise models again. Men are going to become models for men. Let us see this. Let's see this, and the end shall come. Can we say amen? Let's see. I want us to see Revelation chapter 7. You know, briefly. I just want to see this is the arrangement God put in place for us. We have to see that. We have to see that among ourselves, among the elect company. We have to see this. And after this is, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth. And the wind should not, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor the sea, nor on any tree. Okay, no time. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels, and to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea. Yes, sir, go on. Saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees. Till we have what? Till we have sealed the servant of our God in their forehead. You can see that those that are entitled to sealing of our God are servants of our God. They are servants of our God. And no, briefly have showed us how servants are raised. Can we say amen? Amen? You can see that Roman says, servant, be servant of righteousness. Can we say amen? Amen? I want us to see something there. Let's go back to Romans. If I mention them as servant of God, Romans chapter 6, I think the latter part. We're going to come back here. I will stop here. Amen. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 6, there's a particular verse that he made mention of that. Hallelujah, verse 22. Yes. Let's do 21 to 22. Romans 6, 21 to 22. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is what? Is death. When a man serves sin, when a man obeys sin and serves sin, he will collect the wages of sin. The wages of sin is death. So salary of sin. So sin also has its own salary. And the salary of sin is death. So to serve sin is to receive the reward of death. This death is not just death of ceasing to exist. This is called second death. It is second death. Let's say second death. Let's shout it very well. Can we shout amen? But look at verse 22. But now, being made free from sin, hallelujah, and become servants to God. So we are servants to God because we are serving righteousness. And there's a time when God will come to give reward of righteousness. Look at what it says. Ye have your fruit unto holiness. And what against that? And the end, everlasting life. So it means the wages of righteousness is everlasting life. Revelation chapter 7. Hallelujah. Let's say amen. Amen. Look at what it says. Verse 3. Let's see verse 3 again. Verse 3. Saying, ought not the head, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have what, sir? Sealed the servant of our God in their forehead. So, servants of our God there are those who have served righteousness, who have obeyed testament, who have become bonded and yoked. They have obeyed commandment, only commandment. So, God now says it is time to seal them. Hallelujah. Another word for seal is actually salvation. I found out in the scripture, salvation is sealing. So when you are saved, you are sealed. Somebody said to be saved. It's what, sir? It's to be sealed. So this is administration of salvation. That's why I said in their forehead. Let us seal them in their forehead. Can we shout hallelujah? Now let us see, like where I read before, let us see Revelation 22 again. You can see Revelation 22 verse 3, where we read. Look at what it says. You know, his servant, there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servant. shall serve him. Verse 4. Look at what happened. And they shall see his face. Then what again, sir? And his name shall be in their forehead. So when he say, let us see the servant of our God in their forehead, it is the inscription of name. It's to write name. Eschatologists have told us that this forehead is your physical head, where they will write 777. So the name of God is 777. The name of the beast is 666. There is 666, there is 777. Hallelujah. I don't know, maybe God's name is 777. But I think when Reverend comes up later, he might come and tell us the mystery of that 777. I was looking at this thing, I said, is it the 777 in Hebrew? But I saw five writings there, so it must not be 7777. Can we say hey, amen? But it's not just that. God has name. What is the name of God? Salvation. So what they are inscribing upon men is salvation. Let's shout amen. So let us see that Revelation 7. Let's see. After this crop of people have received this, look at what happens. Let us see. Thank you so much. And I had a number of them which were sealed. And they were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. Please, can you just move down because of time too? I think let's see verse 10. Okay, let's see verse 9. From verse 9. And after this, so after the sealing of this crop of servants of God who have his name written on their forehead, look at verse 9. After this I beheld, lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations. What again, sir? And kindred. And what again? And people. And what again? And tongues. What happened to them? Stood before the throne of God and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hand. See the effect of the sealing of this crop of people brought a new civilization upon the head. Brought in harvest. Men began to see. Men began to say, hey, whoa, you know, hallelujah. The course of nature changed because of these men that were witnesses of salvation. Look at verse 10. What were she crying? Their emphasis in verse 10 shows that what they are looking for. What were they crying for in verse 10? Can we read it together? And cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne and to the Lamb. So what was their emphasis? Salvation. 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 Multitude that no man can number. Coming to seek salvation. Can we say amen? Amen. Let not our hearts be disturbed. So people say, if this message is why people are not there, they are coming later. Because what the first fruit people are fighting are terrible onslaught. They have to keep order. We have to keep journeying. We have to keep fighting the good fight of faith until salvation becomes an inheritance. So when it becomes, because salvation is not just afterthought. Salvation is the original agenda. The agenda of God is to save all men. So when that has been achieved in a people, God will ride on it. Hallelujah. What does God will do, sir? He will ride on it. You see, when you see multitude from tribe, tongues, languages, people that you least expect, sheikh that have done Islam all their life, light will shine on their heart. Amen. The time is coming when sheikh will cry for 50 years. Ah! What have I been doing? Learning this, learning that. All of them in their religion. What have I been doing? Ah! See this so great salvation. There was a way God painted it to me that made me say, I will stay on salvation. Sir, anyone who knows something about salvation but drop it. If they find mercy, they will be part of this multitude. They will be part of the multitude. They will be part of this multitude. If they find mercy, anyone who have clue about salvation, who taught it a little, but find that, well, or who knew about it, who has learned Christ a bit and retreated. Okay, well, it cannot be just about, let's do other things. If they find mercy, they will be upon this multitude. And when they be among the multitude have understanding. Because when they are saying salvation, they too will say, but they have some shame. That, I would have been among those brethren who are already partakers of this salvation. I know that some will tell them, were you, did you know this thing before? We knew them. We were with them before. Ah, what did you not live your life for? I wish God gave me that opportunity. Hallelujah. Yes, sir.
Oh, thank you, Jesus. Sifli Fatas. Kafri Sivilita Sicilia Tagan. Tishuka Paliata Sisi Clickly Sisi Kaproch Tisapata. All the inhabitants of the earth will mourn. They will mourn. They will wail. They will wail. They will wail at the appearance of salvation. They will wail, they will mourn. Oh, they will mourn for their wasted lives. Mm. They will mourn for the life that they have wasted. Mm. Because salvation will be so real. Mm. Salvation will be so real. Even now, the adversary seems as if he's walking and blinding the heart of man. But yeah, it will not be for too long.
Yes.
It will not be for too long anymore. For salvation will appear. And all souls and all flesh will see the salvation of our God. And men will mourn for their vanity life. Even life that have believed in vanity. They will wail, they will mourn. But they that have waited, they that have waited, they that receive the blessedness of our God. Yeah, they will rejoice. They will rejoice. They will shine as light. They will shine even as stars. In the kingdom of our God. And yea, it is time. It is time. It is time to pay even more close attention.
Yes.
More close attention.
Yes.
And as heed. For this is the holy thing. For this is the holy thing that will make the head to mourn.
Yes.
That will make the head to mourn.
Yes.
That will make the head to wail.
Yes.
That will make the head to wail. This is the only agenda. This is the holy agenda that will make the whole head, that will make the head, that will make vanity to bow his head in shame when he shall see the glorious appearing of our God.
Hallelujah.
See the Lord.
Hallelujah. Can we shall hear him? Well, I think I should close with that. Let us pay more earnest aid. Please, let's pay more earnest aid to this calling. It is worth it. It will be worth it. It can be very costly now. It is very demanding. Hallelujah. But it is for our own glorification. We have to pay more earnest aid. I don't want to repeat class. That's what if I'm opportune now, there are those, when they are given this opportunity, they will be thanking God. Thank God for counting me worthy to look for salvation. But that's not our class here. Because in the days of our flesh, we have been opportune to see. It's an invitation to come into the elect company of them that we inherit salvation. Let us not compare ourselves with other people. Let us not say, my younger brother who graduated just last year. I've graduated for the past 6 years. He has bought a new car. He's established. I've just been following. Sir, don't measure yourself like that. God has called you to that place of being among the first fruit of men that will receive this inheritance. So it will be more beautiful then when eventually you collect inheritance. Hallelujah. Your bread, your natural line, if they are not born again, they are born again, they are not seeing what you are seeing. They will tell you, thank you for obeying to the end. They will appreciate you for obeying to the end. But God forbid that we turn back. And then they see something. They say, you should have endured, though you will have helped us. Let's pay the price. Can we say amen?
Amen.
Let's say big amen.
Amen.
Can we say, I just want to say this then. 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 10. That's what Timothy said. Paul to Timothy. I just want to tell us that so that we can pray with it. God, I know. Hallelujah. I know it's not without challenges. So I've discovered that what we are going through is also warfare. Satan doesn't want anybody to come to this place. Because believers coming here is the decree of his dissension. So he will rather fight that life battle to make sure that men don't see this. Hallelujah. He would rather fight it. But we have one thing as obligation. We have to keep praying for ourselves. But Jesus has told us what we should do. Paul repeated it again. Let us see this 2 Timothy 2:10. Therefore, I endure, you can see that word, endure all things for the elect's sake. That was that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. So you see, this place we have to have one skill or be engraved to endure all things. This is our call in this season. We must be, Jesus said, he that endures to the end. So we have entered season when our weapon is endurance. We must be able to endure afflictions, endure persecutions, endure, you know, whatever is coming our way, let's always have grace to endure. Let us receive always supply of grace to endure, because after that endurance, we are breaking forth to salvation. Can we say amen? Nations may not go through this kind of endurance, but I want you to know that if Jesus paid the price, a generation will also stick their neck for mankind to be brought to light of salvation. It's a privilege to be counted among them. It's a privilege. Don't appreciate anything temporary. Don't have fancy for it. Don't have any secret adoration for anything you can see. Don't appreciate it. I tell people, what do you expect from God? I say, I'm not expecting anything, eternal life. You need to change your car. Yes. If he gives me, thank God. Do you understand? If he gives me, it doesn't change anything. I thank him for it. Thank you, Father, for it. Let us still use it for the cause of eternal life. I won't have anything and say, I have landed. If we receive anything natural, anything physical, and say, we have arrived, then that means we don't understand anything. We are of all men most miserable. If after wilderness experience, after I've learned Christ, God now give me physical as reward, of all men, I'm most miserable. Because the people that didn't go to wilderness have it. Can we say, I am blessed? I'm just praying God will give us stature to endure. All our young brethren, I say you will endure. I want to pray for all our Brother Thompson minister to young brethren yesterday, and I know he's in line because God told me something recently, early this year. He said Joshua has to use flint knife to circumcise heart of younger people at Giga, because adults have work, they have obeyed, they have gone through things. Can we say amen? But young people, thank God for you. I love you. You are part of our story. You are part of our journey. But God wants you to partake of the cup too. You have to drink this cup. There are no two ways about it. And God knows how to measure cup to you in your own level. But when he brings cup your way, don't turn your mouth. Drink it, because that is part of the affliction. It will be worth it at the end of the day. Are we blessed today? Can we just look up and receive strength to endure? I just want you to receive strength. Please, can you pray? Father, give me strength, capacity, in view of this hope of eternal life, in view of this hope of salvation. Give me stature. Lord, day by day, let there be supply of oil as I fellowship with the saints, as I'm in the company of the elect. Give me capacity to endure things. Give me capacity to go through, capacity to stand, capacity to go on, capacity not to be turned to the right or to the left. Thank you.
Until we see the need for us to go through process and keep obeying the dictate of God that requires our change, until we see that need, we will not give ourselves to it. We have a tendency of getting to a place in our life and stagnating. It's because we don't see the need. We don't see the hope. We don't see what is laid ahead of us. So this meeting is opening us up to see that there's a great need. And except they are done through men, through a people, they can't be done through others. God will always, first of all, take a remnant. He will take just a remnant and do that on them so that he can do it, make it shown to others. There are people who first heard, and there are people who respond through those who have. Can you see that? Some will not receive it until some have received. So many lives are dependent on us. When they ask him, what is about this message? What is about these things? You see, there's nothing we have in the natural that can show forth enough to convince people about this hope, except when the life is made manifest. We trust the Lord in this season that we will obey the process. We're seeing the need that God wants us saved, and to be saved is not just mere, it's to be turned completely, to finish the turning process, to become fixed as that unvariableness, neither shadow of turning. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So we're also seeing that salvation is not something we will get in heaven. It's something that we will receive on earth. We often pray the prayer, the common prayer, Koluajeka for ijoba onrun shele je. No, it's a common prayer with Christians, huh? Pastor, God bless you. Ekushe. The meaning is that we will make heaven. But really speaking, this is what God has asked us to make. Amen. He wants us to make, this is our heaven. Salvation is our heaven. Because God is salvation. What are you going to get in heaven? It's God. We need to begin to correct that theology. And we're not called to make heaven. We're called to be saved. We are called to obtain salvation. That make heaven put you in a place where you attain a place on earth here, and you are waiting to make heaven. It does not allow you to keep turning. You get to a place and now you are heaven worthy. A status you have attained, heaven ready. And so we are waiting to make heaven. No. We will turn again. Turn us again. Turn us again. Turn us again. And the more we are turned, the more we are saved. The more our salvation is guaranteed. Every day of our life, we should be seeking, Lord, turn me again. You must not get to a point where we feel you are heaven ready. Because that's what churches do, prepare us for heaven. So, some people in church are heaven ready, while some are not heaven ready. But they are not saved. The labor of people like Paul is that the believers who receive the message will receive the reward or the finishing line. When I say reward, it's a finishing line. When you go through school, 4 years, you go through your process, your curriculum. Is that not right? Then you obtain a degree. The degree is the confirmation that you have gone through. Some people finish 4 years. Maybe there's something they needed to do in school to ensure that their name is made ready for whatever. They didn't go to do it. When the list comes out, though they have gone through 4 years, they will not obtain the degree. So the degree is what is in view, but the process must be completed. So if the salvation is not inherited, then who will publish it? But we can't publish what you have not obtained. Publish means practice. or witness. You can't. So if you say you have not obtained a degree, your degree in your course of life, it means you can't practice that course. Though you can do some, not when you are in the medical school, you are in part 4, part 5, you are in the, you're already in your, you're no more in the first 3 years, you have done your, what do you call it, Baba? MB, you have done your MB exam, and you are in the 40th or 50th year, you're already going to the hospital, you have an idea. When you get home and issues comes up, you undo it in a way, is that not right? Amen. But you are not certified. You are not certified. So if you make a mistake in that issues, you can't defend it. Because you are not expected to handle such matters. Though you have an idea. We're saying that the issue of salvation to the uttermost can only be done by those who have obtained it. Jesus is able to save us to the uttermost because he has obtained it. What you have not obtained, you can't dispense. So our journey in Christ is to go through process that makes us laborers, or what Paul call it, what did Paul call it in 1 Corinthians 3? For we are called laborers with God. This is we are co-laborers for God. We co-labor with God. What God is doing, we are doing it together. So, it means that God is a spirit. A man is on earth here, and he's being yoked together with God. When you say you co-labor, it means you are yoked together. Can you bear God's burden to go through what he does? Sometimes when you look at Jesus Christ as our high priest, being able to bear our infirmities the way we are on earth, you want to wonder, look at Christians on earth here. How many we are? Yet he can bear all our infirmities. He's not tired of that. What kind of strength does he have to bear it? If two, three, if you bear just five, you bear, so that we bear 100 in our churches, or you bear 5 in your home. It's like you want to die. Want to promise no be. Sometimes you feel like leaving church for next 1 month and just play away for us and go and relax. So when you are okay, you come back. Because the pressure of just 100 saints is about to kill you. And somebody is bearing the burden of millions. He has enough shoulder to bear it. So for someone like Paul to go through all he went through was because God raised him and God equipped him for it. For we are co-laborers with God. Ye are God's husbandry and ye are God's building. But we are co-laborers. Concerning issue of salvation, God will raise co-laborers. And he will raise them among us. That should be our pursuit. It's not just going to be that you are in a church, you become a deacon, you become a pastor. That is not the goal. You can be a pastor and not be able to labor with God. And you may not be a pastor and have all it takes to yoke with God, to get the will of God done on the earth. So this afternoon, I just see that opening that came this morning. Do you know in that Psalm 80, he called for turning 3 times? It was 3 times. Turn us again, O God, and cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. Verse 7 says, turn us again, O God of hosts, and cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. God is changing the template of turning now. He's revealing himself as the God of hosts. Then the third part says, turn us again, O Lord God of hosts. It's not a petition. It's different times of God's appearance to cause turning. So there are levels of face shining. You move from one level of face shining to another level of face shining. There's a domain where God can shine his face. You can't take God's face at once. That's why I told Moses, nobody will see my face and live. But in Christ, he has, you know, Christ is God's technology for administration of his face. He uses Christ to, is his wisdom. So when you are in Christ, it takes you through processes of that experiences in which you come to a point where his face shines. He doesn't stop there. He moves to further again and reveal himself to you in experiences to cause his face to shine again. And his face to shine again. It's not to take away death from us. It's not easy. When you take away sin from us, that's a chapter. But there's need to deal with death. You know the last enemy that will destroy is death. You know that? So we give thanks to God this morning. Give the Lord a big hand for that administration. I appreciate the Lord. We thank the Lord for it. And we thank Pastor Tosin for being used greatly. Praise God. Hallelujah. I welcome us again to this meeting. I welcome my very brother, daddy in the family, Pastor Femi Olabode. You're welcome, sir. Thank you, sir, for coming again this morning. We are glad that we have this privilege together to look into God's word. Amen. Evangelist, you are welcome. Thank you very much. It's nice having you. Evangelist, prophet, all of it. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Mommy B, you're welcome, man. Thank you very much for coming. Mommy, sorry. Adenaya Jo, I should forget your name. We worked together for many years, but you see, I don't remember names easily. You're welcome, ma. Thank you very much. She's the mother of Bolabo. You know, bro, B. B. That's my own brand of name. Praise God. You're welcome back from Benin. Thank you for the care. Praise the Lord. All our friends from all over the places, Bro Elisha, Sister Goshi, Brother Richard. Where's Brother Richard? It's not around. All of the wife is around. Okay. These are wonderful people who are of great help to us. Brother Richard is of great help to this house. Great help is the one who is into his business. He's doing into purchase and all of that. But he helped us in purchasing, without adding anything. We call on him anytime in Lagos. He does that for us, and he has made the work here so easy. Praise God. Amen. Please join me to appreciate such a person. It's always to ask, to call him is enough to, as if he's waiting for us. He will leave his job for the whole day to go through all the stress to buy equipment and materials for us to use here. If you're going to buy all these things to use here in Nondo here, you pay through your nose. Because Ondo market is designed to extort. Ondo has the highest price in materials, in food, everything. If you live in Ondo, God has put you to live in there. Ordinary meat. Between Ondo and Akure, the gap is not there. Praise God. So the city is naturally hostile. Even strangers that come there for business use it as an advantage. If they post policemen to Ondo town, he will be glad. He will be rejoicing. Policemen, if they post them down here, they will be rejoicing. So it's time to make more money. It's an unusual. When you come in, it looks so peaceful, everything. I was telling the pastor of Ridland, he was sitting, you know, this morning, he was talking to me about, you know, he was led to come to the town to start church, all of that. And it has not been easy. I said, God will strengthen you. If you pastor in this place and you stay here, God is with you. God is with you. So everyone who has been a part of help to ensure the work here thrives, thank God for all of you. The Lord bless you. The Lord strengthens you. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't have more time maybe in the evening also to appreciate people, more people. People in this house are wonderful. Can we just help me to just give a hand for everyone in this house? Every person in Talent Life Embassy, they are a wonderful heart. God have to raise such heart as witnesses of this message. Yeah. You know, hearts that are willing to give everything. Everything. More than what you can think about. Not normally we plan for life campaign for around 6 months or so, from around September. We start planning for it, start saving for it, start all of that between September and February. That's 6 months. But this year, by an arrangement that's unusual, we couldn't do anything like that. We started planning for that campaign in January. In January. Even in January, we couldn't do much about it. Because we had to do mommy's birthday or so, somewhere in February. So we actually started planning for me from February, after the birthday. And we had the budget about 2 million. 2 million. And God met it. God met it. It's just amazing. I was saying, how will life campaign this year? I don't know. I have no idea. But the Lord God who has set the work in motion, you know, moved and, you know, brought resources in amazingly, in amazing ways. We said people should pay this, pay that one. He went beyond it. He couldn't fulfill it. But beyond what we can think about, God provided. Thank you very much. Let me give them hands for everyone in the house here. Thank you very much. The Lord bless you. The Lord increase you. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're going to take the next message. And the next 1.5 hours or so. Pastor Dimeji, I know that God will use you mightily this morning. You know one thing about these people is that God has helped them to stay on one thing. In the spirit, it's not easy to stay on one thing. The nature of man is many. Everything beckons on you. But somewhere there, where strength is wasted when we are divergent. That's why even in issues of everything is light, we get the best from them because they are converging. That's how you get the best from them. When light converges, you see the striking strength. And the devil knows that there's more strength in us if we can have only one eye. That's why Jesus said, if thy eyes be single, thy body shall be full of light. But if thy eyes not double, if thy eyes be evil. So every eye up that is away from singleness is evil. Say, and thy whole body shall be full of darkness. Now says, if therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, it means that something corrupted that light. There was one either did that, they allow another light to come in, and once another light comes in, the old light is corrupted. It becomes darkness more terrible than the former darkness. That's why I said, how great is that darkness? In this season, the Lord will empower us through these ministrations to be focused. David said, one thing have I desired, and that is one thing I will practice. If we can keep on this, I can see, keeping on just the message of eternal life over the year, we have seen the whole of the scripture harmonized. The whole of the Bible harmonized in teaching eternal life, harmonized. And I discovered some years ago when the Lord said to me, he said, the way you will preach me accurately is to preach me with the understanding of eternal life. That should be around up to 20 years ago. The Lord said, they said nobody can speak about me without knowing my divine nature. When you understand my divine nature, you will preach my power. You will preach my wisdom. You will preach my strength. And to be according to me. How many years after I discovered 1 John 5:19? How many years after? But the Lord just spoke that to me. So it's to say that stay on eternal life. You'll be understanding me as I am, really. So when I got to scriptures 19, and okay, let's start from 19 to 20 of this place, and we know that we are of God. And we know that we are of God. And the whole world lied in wickedness. Or the whole world is framed. The word lied means framed or built or structured in wickedness. And we know. So the only way you can know that we are of God is to know. There's a knowledge that will precede you really knowing that you are of God. If you say, are you of God now? I'm of God. Are we of God? We are of God. Are we in the house, please? But the only proof that you are of God is when you know that the Son of God is come. He didn't know, isn't it, the Son of God has come? That English is not balanced in a way. The Son of God is come. Is come. It means the present revelation of the Son of God. Who the Son is now. Now that is why Christianity is different from other religion. Am I with you, please? In other religion, they are God. Was. It's not is. It's was. So it is what their God was that they are trying to live today. So if their God cut two heads 2,000 years ago, they want to cut another head today. Because he was. And they must go to the archive of his past. But our God is not just that he was. Our God is the one who is, who was, and who is to come. So it means that our God was, but he is, and we keep coming. That is why we need understanding of him to proceed every day. So you can know him more and more. There's no generation that will say we have known God. No. We keep knowing him in his Son. So we know that the Son of God is come and has given us an understanding that we may know him who is true. So if you belong to a system where you say, that's all we know God is. Doesn't matter what he's saying now. No. He's still speaking now. And from his speaking now, we know him much better. Are we in the house, please? We know him more accurately. You'll see the practice of Christianity that apostles did change when Paul came in. Because the new God now, or the new Christ now, when Paul came in. When John came in, they knew God more. It shines more light. God is light. It shines more light. So if you stay on who God was, you are religious. And you are like those who are outside the faith of Christ. Are we in the house, please? So that's what divine nature does. Divine nature gives us understanding. We don't just understand. We have understanding. We see more and more and more every day. That's why every day you open the Bible, you see better. You see clearer. You know better. You know clearer. And that changes your, it changes your, each time you see the Lord more, it changes your position. It changes your posture. What you saw was right before. Just so this is not right. It's not really as right as that. You adjust. You see more. Oh, that thing. Oh, it's not really like that. Though it looks like, but it's not like that. You change them all. You adjust. You become better and better and better and better. We are on a better testament. This meaning of New Testament is a, it's not just one of the best. It's better. And better means there will always be the better and better. Yesterday was better. Today is better. Tomorrow will be better. I win the hostess. It guarantees our continual change. Hallelujah. Are you willing to change them all? Are you still willing to change? Are you willing to turn? Turn us again, oh God, and we shall be saved. Turn us again, oh God, oh Lord, God of hosts. Oh God of hosts, we shall be changed. Oh, turn us again, oh Lord, God of hosts, and we shall be changed. Hallelujah.
We believe you've heard the voice of the Lord by virtue of the words that have come unto you. Why don't you make it a date with us in any of our meetings? You can join us on Wednesdays for special teaching with Reverend Busuyi Olabode by 5 p.m. and Sundays by 8 a.m. at Eternal Life Embassy, 175 Adeyemi College Road beside Mercyland Hospital, Ondo. For more information, please call 0806-509-8130 or 0703-395-8818 or visit our website www.fmli.org. Remain blessed.